From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I'm from Concord.
Martinez.
Hercules.
I'm from Marina, California.
SF State, wherever that is.
Coming up, we'll find out how one Oakland library is helping people who need food stamps.
We have staff who speaks all different kinds of Asian languages in here, so that really brings that new immigrant community into this library.
Then another branch is giving teens the space they need.
We all feel like we're part of a community. No one's excluded. It's not like there's just nerds coming here to read. There's definitely different types of people.
And we'll visit a library that serves more than just books.
We have a cafe in the library. Just this wonderful place to come gather and talk with each other, because there's nothing like that around here.
We're feeding our bodies and our minds at the Oakland Public Libraries today on Cross Currents. Today we're going to continue with our special on Oakland Libraries, co-produced with Mills College. We were inspired to create this after we heard that Oakland libraries are a destination for much more than just books. Some host exercise classes, job search clubs, and literacy groups. So we thought, what an interesting lens on how the city is changing. Yesterday, our student reporters told us about a program where kids read to canines.
Do you have a favorite dog?
Griffin. He listens very well, and he's really nice to me.
A cycling librarian who brings her books around the city by bike.
You get to learn things when you read books. Different things that you never learned. Like science, math, or art, or how to make things.
And another branch that seeks out young readers in schools.
We understand that children may not often have a chance to be in the library, and they may not have a lot of books at home. So we want to make sure that fun and enjoyment is something that is associated with being around books.
Today, we'll start at a branch in Oakland's Chinatown. Currently, more than 47 million Americans are getting help from the government to buy food. And even though applicants for assistance have decreased in the past couple of months, in places like Alameda County, the numbers are still high. There, one out of every six residents gets help at the county food bank. That's almost 50,000 people a week. The food bank also helps eligible families and individuals apply for CalFresh, the state's nutrition assistance program. The problem is, many people have no idea that they're even eligible. So CalFresh is trying to reach out. And one place they're doing that is at the Asian branch of the Oakland Public Library. Keja Geldhoff brings us the story.
It's a weekday afternoon, and the Asian branch of the Oakland Public Library is crowded. Patrons of all ages fill the single-story space. They're browsing the shelves, reading Chinese language newspapers, using the computers, chatting, and socializing. It's the busiest branch in the Oakland library system, located in the heart of Chinatown. A heavily pregnant woman is sitting at a table, resting her hands on her belly and listening intently to Kim Lee, a community outreach associate with the Alameda County Community Food Bank. The topic of their discussion is not books, it's food, specifically the application process to sign up for food stamps.
I come here every month, one time for 2 hours, to help the people over here at the Oakland downtown.
Lee is a perfect fit for this job. At one of the most ethnically diverse libraries in the city, she can talk with just about everybody. In English, Mandarin, Cantonese, and Vietnamese.
Many immigrant people, they just arrive and they don't have transportation. And also they don't know where to go, who to help, who can help them, and because of the language problem, so they really need help.
Kim's language skills allow her to connect with members of the East Bay Asian immigrant community who might not otherwise have the resources to apply for CalFresh. Janet Chung, the head librarian and branch manager, sees how important the library is as a resource, especially for new immigrants.
For this branch, I think the special thing is because we have things in their home language, and we also have staff who are multilingual on board, and then we speak all different kinds of Asian languages in here, so that really brings that new immigrant community into this library. And beyond the Oakland community, too, because we would have people coming in from the South Bay, from the North Bay, people in the Tri-Valley, they all come to use this branch.
The food bank began offering food stamp enrollment workshops at the Asian branch in 2005 when it received a grant from the USDA, allowing the CalFresh outreach team to offer Chinese language application assistance. The goal was, and is, to reach people who are eligible for food stamps but not participating, especially non-native English speakers. The library is an ideal location for this type of outreach. It's a multilingual environment with materials in 8 Asian languages, including Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese, Thai, Cambodian, Tagalog, and Laotian. And Lee says people of all ages are coming in to apply, including families with children.
A lot of children, especially the Asian family, they apply for children a lot. Yeah, because the parent is not qualified for that.
Lee explains that although some Asian immigrants are not eligible for food stamps, their children often qualify. This was the case with the pregnant client Lee spoke with earlier in the afternoon. She told me that she was applying for CalFresh for her older children, and she will apply for her son once he is born. Librarian Vera Yip says they are seeing more families lately.
We are actually seeing a lot of families with young children. And recently, because of the economic downturn, we got more and more people to ask about the food stamp program.
Vera mentions that library staff are also hearing from another demographic.
Recently, we've been getting a lot of phone calls, not just from Asian clients. It's actually people that speak English. So actually, we are seeing more people that can speak English to come and utilize this service.
Don, a 64-year-old retiree, is one of these individuals. He lives on a fixed income in downtown Oakland and takes care of his elderly mother. He says he's used food stamps in the past and needs them again now.
It was very helpful, yes. So I was kind of in a squeeze and I thought, oh, I have to get off my behind and do it.
More and more Oakland residents are needing that assistance, and this outreach program at the library is helping to ease hunger for people like Don and his mother. For Mills College, I'm Keisha Geldhoff.
Keisha Geldhoff is a student reporter at Mills College in Oakland, where this series was produced. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Holly Kernan. For many teens in Alameda County, the library isn't just a place to study. It's become a space for them to get away from mounting pressures from school, a place where they can just relax and be themselves. For example, Oakland teenagers can come to the Asian branch for game day. Mills student reporter Kelly Johnston takes us to the Asian Cultural Center in downtown Oakland, just upstairs from the library, where this weekly game day is being held.
It's 4 o'clock on a recent afternoon. About 25 high school age boys and girls are hanging out in a big room at the Asian Cultural Center in Oakland's Chinatown. Some are reading comics, others are playing card games, Jenga, Wii, and even Chinese checkers.
And just kind of like a getting to know you kind of thing.
Jeannie Austin's the teen librarian, and she runs game days at the Asian Branch Library.
I mean, I'd say this: it's important for all teens to have a space in which they can be teenagers.
Austin's been on the job for about 6 months, and getting the teenagers to feel comfortable with her is a main priority.
Will you teach me how to play the game next round?
Go. He's a professional. See?
He's got like glasses.
Which I've talked to some of the teens about, and they say that they come here specifically because it feels really homey to them and really comfortable. And it's like a space where they socialize and meet up with people that live in other parts of the city.
Austin says many of the kids here are recent immigrants.
With Game Day, it's a group that is composed of more of like first-generation, second-generation teenagers. And that's the thing I see them appreciating a lot, is that time together.
Yeah.
Raven is a 17-year-old senior, originally from China. He's been coming to game days ever since he moved to Oakland from Ohio a year ago.
It's pretty good, actually. Like, we can, like, talk to each other, like, play games, like, actually, like, help each other on homework or something like that. It's actually pretty helpful, I would say.
In some ways, this game days program is a helpful tool for first or second generation teens to adapt to a new environment and meet new people that can relate to being from another country. But Austin says the main purpose of the group is just to have a fun, safe space for them to be themselves. Part of that safe space is having the freedom to speak their native language, which is Cantonese for many of these kids. Though Jeannie Austin does not speak Cantonese, she says that the cultural barrier is not something she worries about.
And I feel like in the short time that I've been here, that the teens that I'm working with have been really, really accepting of me being here as, like, a white person who works at the Asian branch library.
In fact, she says it might just be an advantage that she doesn't speak any Chinese languages.
Sometimes it even makes more space for the teenagers to have time together because I'm not necessarily, like, listening in on everything that they're saying.
Game days are not the only teen program the Asian branch offers. Once a month, the Teen Advisory Group, or TAG, meets up in the library to discuss ways the library can help meet the teens' needs that come here. Anna Shu is one of the TAG members.
So some of the things that we do during our meetings is we plan out events. We have social parties here. We have game days. It's really great. We all feel like we're part of a community. No one's excluded. It's not like there's just nerds coming here to read. There's definitely different types of people.
And different types of activities, like competitive cupcake decorating.
Hold your hand up if you have a competing cupcake.
Kids are putting the finishing touches on the cupcakes they've been decorating. The judge is about to come upstairs and pick the winner. The room is loud and full of excitement. I mean, there is a movie theater gift card at stake. They vote by applause. There is an array of creative cupcakes. A multi-eyed monster, a cyclops, a cute little angry guy, as Jeannie puts it, some festive fall cupcakes, and a little piggy, naturally. They have narrowed it down, and only two cupcakes remain.
Okay, ready? Cupcake with four eyes.
Oh, no, I don't care.
We want. Beast cupcake. Four eyes win.
Annie?
The mood in the room is lighthearted and the teenagers are talking excitedly. Most game days are relaxed, with echoing laughter and some serious Chinese checker matches. The group provides more than just a space to fill idle time. There is a deep connection they share. They seem grateful that people outside of their families care so deeply about their lives. And Anna Shu points out, it's a safe space.
I think it really keeps people off the streets, especially in a place like Oakland, where there's a lot of, like, drug selling going on and gang violence. So I feel like it really helps deter teens from joining there and finding a place where they can grow to be themselves.
Jeannie Austin has learned that teenagers can surprise us, and she thinks we should stop being afraid of our children.
Just thinking about the ways that teens are treated in larger society and how much they are surveilled, and the fact that, like, we have this group where 30 teens basically run whatever's happening, and for the most part are even kind of tidy, which I think is surprising in a teen, and that their lives are really complex, and they're also really capable of dealing with those complexities.
Austin makes it clear that as long as the teens keep coming to these programs, she will be there. This is Kelly Johnston reporting for Mills College.
You can find out more about Game Day by visiting KALW.org and clicking on Cross Currents, which is also how you can subscribe to our podcast. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. The newest library in Oakland is on 81st Avenue. It has a sleek, modern exterior, unexpected angles, and large green-tinted windows. The interior boasts new designs, too, from Zumba classes to Monopoly gatherings. It's also the school library for two charter schools and the only public library in Oakland that can offer you a brownie and a beverage while you have your head in the books. From Mills College, Megan Sussman has our story.
chips, brownies, Madeleines, turkey sandwiches.
Marcus Hassan works at the 81st Avenue Library Cafe.
Tuna or roast beef, and I have fruit cups, Snapples, and sparkling flavored waters.
Almost all the food served here is healthy, but there are a few exceptions.
And by far the best selling?
The brownies, definitely.
Hassan's a high school graduate, and he's been working at the 81st Avenue Library since the school year started. He got the job through Youth Uprising, an Oakland nonprofit that provides job training for teenagers.
If you didn't have this job here, where do you think you would have a job?
Who knows? I'm not sure. It's a good question.
Every week, students from the charter schools nearby use the library for school projects. The Oakland Unified School District gave an empty lot to the city in order to bring a public library into the neighborhood. So it's no wonder that the cafe at the 81st Avenue Library is a magnet for kids. But it's not necessarily working for everyone else.
I don't actually make coffee here.
Well, the nearest place to get coffee is at Starbucks, which is about 3 miles away on the other side of the highway.
That's Derek DeMay, senior librarian and branch manager of the 81st Avenue Library.
We have a cafe in the library, and one of the most desired things that patrons and teachers of the two schools want is coffee.
At 2:30 on a Friday afternoon, the cafe is empty, while the library is full of children, just finished with their day of school. I asked Michelle Santamaria, assistant librarian at 81st Avenue, if this is a normal occurrence.
I don't see too many people. I was thinking, I don't know if there's a reason, but if they got coffee up in there, that there'd be way more people, like myself. And it doesn't have to be fancy coffee.
But an hour later, a few children come into the cafe. Some of them took the bus here, while others are with their moms, about to pick out books and movies for the weekend. All of them are eating food that's sold by vendors from across the street.
If you've been out there to 81st...
This is Jane Lopez, the supervising manager of District 1 Libraries.
The neighborhood people that sell things on little carts, if you're familiar with Oakland, they're a lot of... Because that area has a high Latino population, African-American population, so they sell handmade or homemade fried things, and they don't look very healthy. Fruit, sometimes it's fruit.
I go outside the library to see what exactly is being sold. There are mangoes coated in dried chili and sold in plastic bags, but there are also pork rinds and roasted corn on a stick slathered in mayo, and small groups of people buying this food and walking away.
If you know the neighborhood, the school, it's not that it goes on lockdown, but they really don't, there really isn't really a place to lounge, a bench, or sit, or you can't walk down to International to the liquor, to the Walgreens or whatever's on that whole boulevard. That's a trek. And San Leandro, that's way, and it's really, between there, it's no man's land. You're walking, and it's, it's all industrial.
Which is why the cafe seemed like such a good idea. It gives a safe place for children to eat and hang out once school is over. Still, branch manager Derek DeMay thinks it could be doing more.
It would give the neighboring residents in the community just this wonderful place to come gather and purchase a cup of coffee and talk with each other, because there's nothing like that around here.
In this neighborhood of liquor stores advertised as markets, where there may be as many warehouses as houses, people are looking for a place to relax. So this isn't even really about the library cafe itself, what they serve, or when they're open. It's about this neighborhood, and about how so many people want this 50-square-foot space to do so much.
It's been hard to sort of figure out what to do with that space. And so it's actually, it's exciting in that, we can do anything we want there. So let's think of something.
But maybe, just maybe, the cafe is doing enough. Marcus has a job.
I'm not complaining. I enjoy what I do. I like making people happy, seeing a smile on their face.
The kids have snacks after school. They have a safe space to sit. And it's a beginning. For Mills College, I'm Megan Sussman.
listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Holly Kernan. All of the stories you heard today were produced by student reporters at Mills College in Oakland. But making radio isn't just about securing the interviews, getting great tape, and writing a script. It's also about putting your voice to the story. To do that, they put on headphones, read from scripts that have been scrutinized for weeks in a makeshift recording booth in my office. And then
I changed this, and I know it's supposed to be present tense. I said I stepped on a crack pipe, because I didn't step over it. I stepped on it. I stepped on a crack pipe.
I stepped on a crack pipe. Today we're going to share with you a little bit of insight about what it's like for student reporters to tell their stories for the first time.
Okay, and do I just keep going from my script to the next, like continuously?
Yeah, so okay. Just make sure you do 3, 2, 1 so I can catch you.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1.
3, 2, 1. The major computer. Okay, start over.
A multi-eyed concert.
Should I start over?
Okay.
I feel like I can hear my teeth against each other. Am I just being very overanalytical?
I changed this, and I know it's supposed to be present tense. I said I stepped on a crack pipe, because I didn't step over it, I stepped on it.
What do you think?
I stepped on a crack pipe.
I love that graph, it's great.
That sound good?
That was perfect, give me one more of that.
I stepped on a crack pipe.
Yeah, go ahead,
I can't do this.
Yeah, you can, you're doing fine.
For Mills College, I'm Katia Geldhoff.
For Cross Currents, I'm Chris Hoff.
I'm Katia Geldhoff.
I'm Chris Hoff.
Katia Geldhoff.
Hoff.
Geldhoff.
Hoff.
Geldhoff.
No, wait.
For Cross Currents, I'm Katia Geldhoff.
No, listen. For Cross Currents, I'm Chris Hoff.
For Mills College, I'm Katia Geldhoff. Whoops.
3, 2, 1.
That was great. Just be careful to enunciate dwarfed.
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 Good.
Okay.
Keep talking.
The space is intimate, almost dwarfed by the librarian's desk in the center. The space is intimate, almost dwarfed by the librarian's desk in the center. Dwarfed.
Dwarfed.
Dwarfed. I pronounce W's weird sometimes. Sorry. The space is intimate, almost dwarfed by the librarian's desk in the center.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I do want to do it again.
Sorry, my arm's tired.
It's amazing how nerve-wracking this is.
It is, isn't it?
Okay.
Which is precisely the point of this program, called Pause to Read. I said pause. I was Bob Wa Wa Wa. Okay, going back. 3, 2, 1. 3, 2, 2, 1. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 3, 2, 1.
All right, just keep on going.
And that's it for today's edition of Cross Currents, a special production from Mills College in Oakland. It was edited by Chris Hoff with help from the KALW team. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel and produced by Leela Day. You can hear more stories from local libraries at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. The sounds you're hearing now are by Aesop, a Richmond-raised rapper who calls his style street gospel. Aesop takes the stage at the Mink Bar and Lounge in Daly City on Saturday at 9 p.m. He'll no doubt be featuring music from his new album. It comes out next week. You can find all of that information along with more local music and more local stories at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan. But no palm trees, just a fog rolling in with a bay breeze. Pier 39 and Ghirardelli Square. When you hit downtown, you see tourists everywhere in my city. Where you from? You gotta rep your city. I rep my city and I got my.
with me. I want to see you dance. Get on the floor, baby. Show me how you move. Let me see you go crazy. Wherever you from, you got to rep your city. I rep my city and I got my with me. I want to see you dance. Get on the floor, baby. Show me how you move. Let me see you go crazy.
You can hop on the cable car. Catch the T-train, ride down 3rd through the hood to the Jazz game. City of the Rock, Sean Connery and Alcatraz. On the 101 is where we like to drive fast. Candlestick Park, home to a lot of greats. We got the catch, number 80 and number 8. Can't forget Joe, a legend, number 16. One of the greatest 49ers, he got 4 rings. My city breed winners, we in every hood. From Sunnydale to Hunters Point, and it's all good. And Phil Motor getting money by the stacks. Double Rock Patrol here where you at. And Lakeview wanna see you throw it up. Rest in peace to the homie Cool Nut, Tower Side Alamo.